Welcome to Political Coffee, your one-hour thought-provoking news and commentary as you begin your day. And now, here's your host, Jeff Krupps.
All right, Happy New Year to all of you out there. It is 2020. Wow. Did you have a great time last night? I hope you did. I hope you were safe last night. I hope that if you were out and about, you were using the great services of Diamond Royalty Rides, a limousine service that is an advertiser on this show, because you know what? That's the safest way to get around on a New Year's Eve. I have to, by the way, say that, you know, last night we needed to have into Albany, have some dinner with friends and, you know, watch a little football. Of course, it's bowl season, as you know. Today, of course, is the Rose Bowl with the Oregon Ducks. Even though I'm a Beaver, I say go Ducks anytime that they're playing somewhere the Beavers aren't. Because they, you know, all in all represent Oregon pretty well. So go Ducks today in the beat Wisconsin in the Rose Bowl. I hope you get a chance to watch it. I'm going to be doing some other things today that are really important regarding my family, so I'm going to miss it. But you know what? 2020 has a lot of promise, not just football, bowl games. Not just the likely re-election of Donald Trump, but more importantly, it holds promise for you. And we're going to talk about that. I'm also going to share with you some things that you may not know about accomplishments that Donald Trump has actually done in his administration. It's an incredibly long list. In fact, it's so long, it's I would take hours to read it to you. I'm not exaggerating. It would take hours to read it, and I'm not going to do that. But I'm going to hit on some high points, some things that you didn't know that you might be able to, well, put little nuggets of thought in the minds of those persuadable voters. Those are the people that this show is dedicated to helping, well, I guess, come to their own realization that, you know, maybe their political allegiances and thinking should move from the left to more to the center or more to the right, as we conservatives believe. All of that today, my friends. Plus, this is the history. I told you I would do this yesterday, and I ran out of time to do it. But I'm going to share with you just a little bit about the history of New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, and how some other countries kind of engage in that. But I also want to ask you this question. Do you make New Year's resolutions? If you do, I'd love to hear what they might be. 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line, 503-589-1220. Or send me an email to jeff at 1220.am, and I will do my darndest to read it on the air. 503-589-1220, emails to jeff at 1220.am. By the way, there's an interesting story, kind of a postscript to something that we've been talking about, you know, the homelessness issue. Here's what's fascinating about this article in the Portland Tribune about that, because the federal government is blaming California and Oregon for the nation's rise in homelessness. Yeah, HUD is doing that. Did you know that homelessness fell in 29 states and in the District of Columbia this year? 29 states. That's well over half. But the Department of Housing and Urban Development, run by that great pediatric brain surgeon, Ben Carson, an incredibly wonderful success story and a marvelous man whom I have the honor of meeting. Anyway, they called out Oregon and California by name. California's homelessness increased by 16%. And the total number was more than every other state, including Oregon, which grew by 10%. California's homelessness, get this, at 16% totaled more than all of the other states combined. Now, just think about that for a moment. Now, why is it that Oregon and California on the left coast are attracting so many homeless people? Especially when another state on the left coast actually declined. Washington State officially declined 3.3%. Why is it? Could it have anything to do with the leftist mentality, the regressive totalitarian Marxists that run Oregon and California, that throw out the welcome mat to homeless people, to drug addictions, by decriminalizing stuff that, well, you send a powerful message. It's okay to come here and do drugs because government will take care of you. Could it be that? No, silly me for asking such a silly question. Anyway, here's an interesting thing, by the way. This, in this Portland Tribune story about this, and I'm just going to say this and I'm going to move on because I got a couple of great emails about things we talked about yesterday that I want to get to. I think it's important on this New Year's Day. Portland State University, not exactly a conservative place, has a homelessness research and action collaborative. They do research. They produce reports estimating that the Portland metro area, not just Portland, but the entire metro area, that its homeless population is about 38,000, but the federal government only recognizes 5,000. Why the disparity? Well, HUD estimates people that are sleeping in tents, cars, and shelters. Okay? But people at Portland State counts a higher level of homelessness and call other things their home. Okay. So the bottom line is this. Oregon and Washington are contributing to more homelessness across the nation and are really the magnets of it. That's a political decision, folks. It has nothing to do with compassion. It has everything to do with government policies that especially come out of not just liberal cities, folks, run by the leftist Democrats, but even more than that. The laws passed by the legislature that send a clear message. Oregon welcomes all of those folks that want free stuff. I mean, look at it. We give free transgender surgeries to 15-year-olds. Yes, paid for by the taxpayers. We give free abortions to illegal alien women. We give lots of food stamps. We give away free stuff at a record rate in Oregon. In fact, the cost of government in Oregon is twice what it is in Idaho. No kidding. Idaho spends 49% less per person who lives in that state. And the same, we even spend more than California, if you can imagine that. My point to you is that government policy has everything to do with homelessness and a lot of other things, including a great economy. Now, the White House has put out a list of accomplishments of Donald Trump's administration. It's not just Trump, but obviously Trump is the leader of this country, is our president. But he also appoints people that run these agencies. He also puts in place things that have led to record economic prosperity. And I'm just going to mention a couple of things, but there's some things going on here that are benefiting you that you may not even know about. Now, you know about tax cuts. And of course, the left says you're just, you know, economic, that equity, economic insecurity, it's all a lie. Okay. Income inequality, it's all a lie. Folks, the rich are getting richer. They always say that. They have always said that whenever there's a Republican president. Now, 7 million more jobs have been added to the economy since Donald Trump was elected. Now, you have to understand and remember, folks, that this is not the Obama investments, which is just a misnomer for radical far-left spending. It is not the result of the Obama economy, not even close. And I'll tell you why it isn't. Because the surveys of business leaders from major corporate CEOs and small business owners showed that very clearly during the Obama overreaching, over-regulatory recovery, which was the worst since World War II, the worst recovery, they simply were not in, business owners were simply really, really worried about making huge investments because they had no idea what was going to happen with the Obama regulatory machine from the federal government. When Trump came in, they immediately started rolling back regulations. That has added to the incredible booming economy that we have. It's not so much the tax cut, but it's other things. But here's something that you should know. Listen to this. This is a statistic. These are things that you can use. So get your pen and write this down. By the way, all of this you can see if you go to whitehouse.gov in their briefings. It's a long document. It's going to take you a long time to read through it because I did. But write this down. It's not just that we've added 7 million more jobs to the economy. For the first time on record, write this down, there are more job openings than unemployed Americans. For the first time ever recorded, there are 7 million job openings in America right now. There's 6 million people looking for work. But it's even better than that. Two-thirds of Americans rate now, right now, as a good time to find a quality job. Now, that means a lot of things to you. It means a lot of things to other people. It means that they're optimistic. That's good, because what that means is we just had a record Christmas, folks. And more people are optimistic about the future, and you have to have that. Friends, you have to have it to not just have a booming economy, but to have a better life. Now, in the midst of all this impeachment insanity and the angst over Trump's tweeting and he's mean, he's misogynistic and blah, 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 people are optimistic. This is important in your ability to influence the thinking of other people. Now, it's not just also that the unemployment rate is, well, at almost a record low, 65-year low. But there's another nugget in this data that is really important for the future. I'll share it with you when we come back at 6:20 in the morning. You're listening to Political Coffee. You got a New Year's resolution? You want to share it with us?
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
22 minutes past the top of the hour. You can send me an email, by the way, to Jeff at 1220.am. By the way, I got a great email from James. Yeah, he said, hey, amigo, I caught your show on the drive home. The monologue was hysterical, but so is AOC. Where's my unicorn? He continues and says, after the Texas church incident, I'll be renewing my concealed carry license. and pledge to devote more time to practice. I sure appreciate all my firearms training and the great facilities at ARPC. That's the Albany Rifle and Pistol Club. Great place, by the way. I've shot there myself. He goes, perhaps I'll visit TriTac as a close-to-home alternative as well. As for forgiveness, that's a toughie. I can't go into it, he writes. Oh, and the idea of no police is brilliant. They can finish up that new City of Salem Police Department building and convert it to house the homeless. That would be tax dollars well spent. Yay, right? And then a whole bunch of expletives deleted. See you in the next decade. Jim from West Salem. Thanks, Jim. I appreciate it. By the way, I want to remind you that if you have not tried CBD oil, you should. I use it, and you know, it really does help me in so many ways. Maybe it'll help you. Maybe you ought to go talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Care down on South Commercial. They're right next to Safeway in South Salem. You can't miss it. There's a big billboard there with an arrow pointing to where they are. You know what? They sell CannaShield, and CannaShield is really very high quality CBD product. Why? Because it comes from Oregon, all of it. It's sourced here. It's grown here. They mix it here. They bottle it here. It's all Oregon, and it is everything they say it is. You can be assured that you're getting what's on the label, folks, and you don't get that with some of the stuff you buy online. Go down and talk to the folks at Vim Natural Supplements and Body Core. Frankly, go check them out on the web. VimSalem.com is their website. It's V-I-M, Vim, Salem, all one word, .com. It'd be well worth it. Okay, what is the couple of interesting statistics that the White House is putting out? Yes, we have a booming economy. We know that. The unemployment rate, folks, is at a 65-year low, especially for women. There's lots of other statistics here, but I wanted the number of people that are claiming unemployment insurance is the lowest on record. Why? Well, because there's a lot of job openings out there. Remember I said that statistic? For the first time ever, there are more people, there are more job openings than people who are looking for work. And it's not just all of at record lows for African Americans, Hispanic Americans, Asian Americans, but also for veterans and for individuals with disabilities. Did you know that? Veterans, individuals with disabilities, they're not the same, by the way. It's the lowest unemployment on record, but there's another group of people. It's those people that are working that don't have a high school diploma. All of these groups have record low unemployment. It's huge, folks. It means everybody's working. But it's also that wages are growing at their fastest rate in 10 years. It's 3% year over year. So that means that every 3%, your wages are getting higher. But it's actually more than that. And by the way, that's adjusted after inflation, which is incredibly low. Your benefits and your pay, this is just your pay. Your benefits are added to that. And if you add that in, the fact that you can basically go anywhere and get a better job with higher pay and better benefits, your life is better. People's lives are better. But it's also that wages are rising the fastest for low-income workers, and it's not because of minimum wage laws. It's because of the economy. Employers have to pay more for good people. Now, there's another. It's not just that 2.4 million Americans have been lifted out of what is poverty, according to the official measurements. Not just that African Americans and Hispanic Americans have the lowest poverty ever recorded. And it's not just that 7 million Americans have gotten off of food stamps, and it's not because of them changing the food stamp rules. That just happened. Literally, just last month, folks. No, no. Is that people aren't using food stamps. Why? Because they're working and getting more pay. But here's an interesting statistic that you want to write down. This is something you can use. 73% of all workers that are getting jobs came out of the labor force rather than from the unemployment rolls. Now, this is the highest since 1990. Now, remember, in 88, Bush, H.W. Bush got elected. We went into a small recession. Since 1990, when we began coming out of that recession, this statistic now, and that's a long time, 1990 to now, 73% of workers, and this is a record, are people that are moving up, folks. They're moving up because it's a booming economy and a tight labor market. Now think about it. What does that mean? It means that people are able to find better jobs with more money. What does all of that mean? Somebody gets the credit for that. It wasn't Barack Obama, because none of these things happened under Obama. They happened under Trump. Why? Well, I'm going to share with you why when we come back from the bottom of the hour break, because it has to do with something that nobody's talking about and that Trump ought to be talking about, and it's real. Back in a moment, friends. It's 6:30 in the morning. You're listening to Political Coffee. By the way, you got a New Year's resolution? Would love to hear it. Back in a moment.
Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
24 minutes to the top of the hour. Happy New Year to all of you out there. I hope you had a great time celebrating the New Year, however you did it. I hope it was safe. By the way, shout out to Diamond Royalty Rides. You know what? They're a new sponsor on the show. They're a limousine company in Salem. They helped a lot of people last night, celebrate a new year. And it is an optimistic new year. And you know what? If you know, sometimes it's just worth it in a booming economy to go do something special. You know, if you got a wedding anniversary coming up, might be a great opportunity to contact the folks at Diamond Royalty Rides and go to their website, diamondroyaltyrides.com, and reserve a limousine. Take your significant other on a wonderful evening, celebrating marriage, life, family, blessing. It's a great economy, great opportunity to do it. Diamond Royalty Rides. Why don't you check it out? 503-589-1220 is the Power Buick GMC talk line. 503-589-1220. Emails to Jeff at 1220.am. Remember when I teased you with this, and I'm going to kind of finish this up because there's some other things that I want to talk about today. But one of the great achievements of the Trump administration that is completely just people don't connect the dots to this, and I think they should. It's the it's the burden of overregulation, and it impacts everybody's life in America. You see, one of the things that Trump said is that he wanted to, for every new regulation, he wanted to get rid of two regulations. Now, I will tell you that as a former state legislator, that never happens. It doesn't happen in bureaucracies, folks. You've got to be kidding me. Well, Trump is doing it. But what's, okay, so that sounds well and good. And we that are, you know, conservative business people, you know, free market supply siders, we say, hey, that has helped unleash this incredible economy. Well, it has. And it's not just the tax reforms, by the way. You see, the tax reforms alone, take the doubling of the child tax credit, that's an extra $2,200 to the average family a year. And it wasn't just that the tax cuts immediately adjusted, and this was in February of 2018, the tax tables that determine how much gets taken out of your check, those tax tables adjusted, and you took home more pay. And it's not just that the Trump tax cuts brought in an additional $1 trillion. That's right. That was American companies had parked overseas because the tax rate was way too high to bring it into America. We got record revenue from that, by the way. And it's not just all of that, folks, but is the benefit. This is the key thing that you can share with people. The benefit of reducing, listen to my words now, reducing unnecessary regulation. The benefit of that to the average person, the average household in America, we will see an income gain, more money in our pockets every year of $3,100. Now, I want you to just stop and think about that for a moment. What, and this again, this is something you can use in conversation with people. Did you know that Trump doing away with 8 regulations for every new regulation in the federal government? You know what that means to you? It means an extra $3,100 per American household. There are 20, they're not all in effect yet, but they will be, okay? There are 20 major deregulatory actions of, again, unwinding unnecessary, and you have to use the word unnecessary, over-regulation. Use those words. And I'll tell you why in a moment. But of the 20 major deregulatory actions that Trump has put in place, when fully in effect, because they take time to go into effect, when it's fully in effect, it will save you, the consumer, and businesses $220 billion a year. $220 billion a year is how much consumers, what does that mean to you? It means you're going to get stuff cheaper. It means, and we're not talking, by the way, stuff from China cheaper. We're talking stuff made in America. Why? Because Trump has brought back over a half a million manufacturing jobs into this country that were held overseas. Did you know that? Manufacturing is back in America, folks. And that didn't happen under Obama. Why? Because Obama's over-regulation. Obama's unnecessary over-regulation stifled business. And Obama said, you're not bringing back manufacturing jobs. Didn't he say that? Yes. Trump said, no, I don't believe that. 20 major deregulatory actions will save you, the consumer, and businesses that compete for your dollars, $220 billion a year. That's a lot of money saved that doesn't need to be spent. Now, the left will say, well, but you're creating dirtier air and workers aren't as safe and blah, blah, blah. No, that's not true. Not at all. The reality is you care about clean water and clean air and workers not getting hurt as much as anybody as a conservative. And you say that to people. But then use the words. Everybody expects some regulation. We have to have some of it. I get that. And there's lots of reasons to have some of the regulations in place that keep workers safe and keep our water clean and our air clean. But the question is, why should we overregulate it and make my life more miserable and cost me more money and hurt the economy and hurt businesses? Why should we do that? Overregulation and unnecessary rules and regulation hurt consumers, hurt you. These are the things you need to say to people. Use the terms overregulation. Trump's deregulation from, again, unnecessary, overburdensome regulation today is saving businesses in America $50 billion that they don't need to spend. Now, that benefits you in a lot of ways. Some of that money gets passed on to you, the consumer, in the form of lower prices or prices not increasing, or it gets passed on to the 50%, actually 55% of Americans that have some money in the stock market. It's not just the record stock market, folks. Most of you have a 401k. Most of you who have a PERS, government workers, whatever pension plan you have, I can guarantee you that it is invested, at least in part, in the stock market. When companies have more money in their bottom line because they don't have to spend money on unnecessary regulation, you benefit. You get cheaper prices. There's more competition, which leads to cheaper prices, but also your savings and your investments grow. If you own rental homes, your investment is growing. Why? Because you've got a booming economy. Again, $3,100 a year is how much more the average American household is going to get when Trump's deregulation is fully in place. You add that to the unwinding of Obamacare and the lowering of health insurance, because that's coming. In fact, it's already happening in some ways. You add all of that up. There's reasons to be optimistic for 2020. There's an awful lot more here, folks, and you just not just fair trade, but a whole bunch of other things. I mean, it's just incredibly long list of accomplishments. You can find it if you go to whitehouse.gov briefings. It's an amazing thing. Now, when we come back, Joel Pollack at Breitbart has a great story called Welcome to 2020, the Year of the Good Fight. And I'm also going to briefly share with you a little bit about the history of New Year's and celebration and how other countries do it. All of this when we come back. You're listening to Political Coffee. Come on and sing my song. All night long. All night long.
Call Jeff now at 503-589-1220. That's 503-589-1220. Let's return now to more of Political Coffee with Jeff Krupp.
10 minutes till the top of the hour, and Happy New Year to all of you out there. So, what is, by the way, the history of New Year's? Just quickly, I'm going to share it with you because this is really interesting. I didn't know this. That the ancient Greeks began their New Year with the new moon after June 21st. This is just some interesting history here. Before the time of Julius Caesar, the Roman year started on March 1st. In most European countries during the Middle Ages, anyway, the new year began on March 25th, the day of the Feast of Annunciation. Some interesting New Year's traditions for you. Indonesia has two New Year's celebrations. The official one is on January 1. But the other one is on the Islamic New Year. And that date varies from year to year. The Russian Orthodox Church observes the New Year according to the Julian calendar, which places the day on January 14th. In Vietnam, the New Year usually begins in February. Iran celebrates New Year's Day on March 21st. Here's an interesting thing about India. Each of the religious groups in India has its own date for the beginning of the new year. One Hindu New Year, Vaisakhi, I think is how you say it, comes sometime in April or May. In Morocco, they observe the beginning of the year on the 10th day of Muharram, the first month of the Islamic year. The Koreans celebrate their new year the first 3 days in January. And of course, New Year's Eve in New York Times Square, as we saw, man, that's a 100-year-old tradition. A million people gather there. But some of the earliest recorded festivities in honor of a New Year's goes clear back to 4,000 years to ancient Babylon. For the Babylonians, the first new moon following the vernal equinox, the day in late March, with an equal amount of sunlight and darkness, that, to them, was the start of a new year. They had a massive religious festival called Akitu, which comes from the Sumerian word for barley. And it involved a different ritual on each of its 11 days. They celebrated for 11 days, folks. Anyway, it's just some interesting things I wanted to share with you. I just thought were, well, just different. Joel Pollack writes, good reason for us as conservatives and as supporters of Donald Trump and the direction that he has taken this country, making America great, we have good reason to be optimistic for 2020, but also a good reason to fight. He says, welcome to 2020, the year of the good fight. The year 2020 begins, he writes, with incredible potential for the supporters of Donald Trump and for America's renaissance. The economy is roaring. The country is about to sign trade deals with our North American partners, USMCA, and with China. And another deal with post-Brexit Great Britain is likely. Baghdadi, the ISIS guy, is dead. The Christmas gift, threatened by Kim Jong-un, didn't happen. Probably because Trump charmed him like he just said again last night. Hey, you know, what I want from Kim Jong-un is a really nice vase. Only Trump, folks. He's brilliant. Anyway, Iran is using its proxies to attack the U.S. and Iraq, but Iran's got problems of its own. Health insurance prices here in America have stabilized. The price of prescription drugs is falling. And there's hope for curing diseases like HIV, AIDS. Fuel is cheap. I mean, I bought fuel last night, folks, for $2.59. And promising breakthroughs are happening in nuclear energy. The Constitution, Pollack writes, has arguably been saved by Trump's judicial appointments. He's restocked the federal judiciary with a highly qualified constitutional conservatives. Democrats are struggling to sustain the idea, he writes, that America needs radical change and to convince the country of the farcical idea that Trump is somehow an imminent threat to the security and the welfare of the country. You only have to look at their weak field of presidential contenders that they understand that they've been backed into a corner with impeachment, and it's not going to result in Trump going anywhere. A political savior on the Democrat side, Michelle Obama, maybe? Well, that's possible. We'll see what happens. But if there is no unforeseen economic or national security disaster, all the things that we talked about, plus the failure to impeach Trump and the likelihood that some deep staters are going to be marched away in the perp walk in handcuffs, as they should be, all of this adds up to Trump winning re-election. Now, the things that I've shared with you are basically this point that you can make to people. Donald Trump is not perfect. We didn't elect a saint and we didn't elect a savior. We elected someone to make America great once again. That's a hopeful and an optimistic thing. And he is, and he has. And the main point you make to people, Donald Trump has made your life better in ways you may not even know. And then you can go on to recite some of the statistics I just shared with you. That's a bold statement, but it's a true statement. Let's go to the phones. Go to Art. Art, good morning. Hey, you got a New Year's resolution for me, friend?
Happy New Year's, Jeff. Yeah, I've I made a resolution that I'm going to try to educate everybody that I can that the American economic system, when it's let go to do what it's supposed to do, you end up with great results. You and I both know that, Jeff, and what's going on in our great country right now is proof of it. And
but
let me ask you this question.
Art, do you think the average person understands how who has made that possible?
Well, Jeff, obviously, you know, the education system. I mean, back when I was in college, you know, they actually taught you economics 101, what works, what doesn't work. And why it works and why it doesn't work. And they don't teach that anymore, Jeff. And that's why people are ignorant to the facts. And we gotta be resolute and educate the education, the ones that want to be educated. And the proof is in the pudding. Do we have a perfect economy right now? No, because it got all screwed up. But we're headed in the right direction.
We are, and Art, thank you for a great New Year's resolution. Be blessed. Happy New Year's to all of you out there.
You too, brother.
See ya. I'll see you tomorrow, folks. Be blessed, each and every one of you. Be optimistic. Every reason to.